Now I'm standing here, yeah, I found my light. Turn my pain into purpose, now I shine so bright. All the scars that I carry made me who I am.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Luke Mind Power Podcast. It's a blessing to be alive, and I am here with Master Shri. Super excited to have him on the podcast again. It's been about 3 years since he joined us on the Luke Mind Power Podcast, and Master Shri, welcome.
Thank you, Luke, brother. It's been a while, but I think this time's going to be different.
You know what? I have a feeling it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we know each other differently now.
So. Absolutely. Yeah.
More relaxed.
Absolutely. The first time, obviously, we connected on Instagram. I just came to Dubai, and I was looking at connecting with people, and I was just like, okay, like I'm new to this environment, to this city, and meeting you. I think I resonated with you so much more as well because I lived in the Shaolin Temple in China. Mm-hmm. And so, I remember when you walked in and you had your gown on and I don't know if it's called a gown or whatever, but I felt your peace, and I think that's definitely something which I want to kind of go deeper on today because I feel like that's something a lot of people are struggling with, and even just starting this episode, as I was kind of just introducing you, I felt a little bit of anxiety and maybe not anxiety, but just, my heart rate went up, and so I've made it somewhat of a rule for me to not run away from those feelings, to be comfortable.
To acknowledge it.
Absolutely, okay, man. I think that is what is hurting people is the lack of acknowledgement of how they feel. So I was listening to one of your, just a brief clip from one of your episodes with someone recently. I think it was on your Instagram.
Major, yeah.
And it was the rapper, yeah. And you started talking about depression, So I know you've shared your story many times, but I think it's the internalization of whatever you're going through, which is the killer for most people. So I'm curious, how long were you holding on to?
Probably a couple of years. Yeah, but a couple of years was just, I think, couldn't find meaning in life. So felt suicidal, But then probably didn't have the guts to do it. It was like in that state. But I remember I used to get in my car every morning and I used to say, please take me away, I would hope that something else would do it for me.
Do you, because have you ever been speaking or on a podcast and because the suicidal, like that even, talking about it or even someone hearing it, can that be abused? The talking about suicide, like,
what do you mean by that?
Because it's such a attention grabber. Like, really, you wanted to kill yourself? Oh my goodness! Like, oh shit! I need to hear you now. I need to listen to what? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think the reality is, I didn't have the guts to kill myself. Is probably the most real part of it. But so I don't know if that's called suicidal. I wanted to die. So yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the deeper part of that is what took you to that dark place that's how you felt. Like what happened when you were a child? What were you internalizing? What was it so stuck in your head over that period of 2 years that created?
You know, the amount of times I've told this story and I've never been asked this before. I don't know. Maybe it was, I think I didn't feel significant, actually, now you ask. Now if I recall back, I feel like significance was probably a big thing that I needed through growing up, and I didn't feel like I got it enough. This is deep. I didn't know I was getting a coaching session today.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind of work that I do with my clients, you know. It's like you're really going back into your childhood and trying to find that young version of yourself, whenever that was. So it's like when you go back to your childhood now, or whenever it was, whether it's 7, 9, 12, 15, where was that lack of significance that
you... Hey, this guy's magical. I'm being serious. Like,
yeah. Because
seriously, the amount of times I've told this story and nobody's ever asked that question before. And for me, I always said, I don't know. And I just felt like there was no sense of purpose. But now you ask, I realize that I did everything to try and make my dad proud so that he can finally say, good job.
Mm.
And it was at that moment when I had the restaurants or owned the cars or owned the house that he said makes you successful, where maybe I felt like, okay, I've completed significance for him. And then I questioned, then what's the point anymore? Like, I'm done.
Mm.
It was like, I think I didn't feel significant in the world. I didn't feel like that. That's why I was like, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? What's the point? You know, working so hard every day, doing all this, and then going through, I mean, like business is, there's headache, you know, there's a lot you go through all every day. And it's like, you do all of that for what at the end of it? And I've already proven to my dad at that point. And then it's like, so I've lost all sense of purpose then. Because And actually, you just link something very interesting, because maybe that need for significance was probably the thing that later got me interested in becoming a speaker.
Mm.
Like, why did I pay tens of thousands of dollars and fly out to US to learn confidence or speaking? Probably because I seen the people on stage and I thought, wow, they're special, you know, and I'm not special.
Mm.
And back to the question you asked before, I think the reasoning was because mom and dad were working every single day when I was growing up. And we had a nanny, but it was very hard to get time with mom and dad growing up.
Mm.
And I even remember like my 5-year-old birthday party at McDonald's where dad was not there.
Mm.
And I was asking mom, where's dad? Why is she not here? It's my birthday, you know?
Mm-mm.
So you just found something I never even linked before.
So it's almost like there's the duality of your, you know, your pain becomes your purpose. Your pain is your power. You know, it's like what we're trying to do to be free is to transmute or transform the pain into some sort of direction that gives us fulfillment.
Yeah, we always say we turn your mess into your message.
Yeah,
and I think that's what it is. It's what I personally struggled with, and then now connecting another dot there. That's probably why I enjoy most teaching people how to speak on stage and how to become a person of impact or influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole line.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but when you go back to childhood, there's the duality of the fact that, you know, our parents, you know, at the time, what they're going through, where they've been, like, you know, I've learned myself that there was the victim mindset of I'm not where I should be because it's my parents' fault of how they raised me or the environment that I grew up in. My dad wasn't emotionally available. My dad was busy. He was working. He was hustling. He was trying to provide. So now do I stand here blaming him because he didn't have the time to spend with me? So that's the lack of confidence and the lack of, you know, self-love, or I'm insecure because my dad didn't empower me, or he didn't sit with me or consciously have these conversations that, Luke, you're enough just the way you are. Doesn't matter how you look. Don't worry about other people's opinions. You know, so... So without that guidance, we've had to figure it out on our own, you know. But then we say, well, what if you did have significance, Master Sri? You know, what if your parents were available for you all the time? What if they did inspire you? They did, like, give you that better example of, like, I spend time with my child. Who would you be? So there's the duality.
Yeah, but then. Like people probably hope for things like that, but they don't realize, like, today I would not have my message, or probably not have my millions of impact, had it not happened. And I think that's what a lot of people miss. I think a lot of people miss that every challenge is really, it sounds like, oh, it's just a quote. No, but it's really a blessing in disguise. And everything we go through, we do grow through, you know. It's there for your purpose, for you to actually fulfill that dharma, you know?
You just said everything we go through, we grow through. But is everyone supposed to grow? Or do you feel or believe that there's chosen ones? Not everybody is, because it's an awakening journey. Like, people walking around unconscious of the pain or the struggle that they've been through, but they don't know how to grow.
When you talk about the chosen ones, that's a topic that I have been taught by my teachers to not dive into that idea for the reason that it's... it may not empower people. Meaning, like, even like things like destiny or birth charts or anything like that. I think it's best to say, I think it's fair to say that, you know, in existence, there is something called karma. So over time, our good deeds and our not so good deeds are accounted for. And because of how, like, spirituality is science, it's cause, it's effect. It's just how it works. And it doesn't have to happen immediately. It's not like, say, hey, I help someone today and, oh, wow, there's money in my bank account. It doesn't work like that. So does that mean that over time, and because we are infinite beings, so meaning that it's not just this lifetime, it's many lifetimes. Is it that we are chosen when in birth already, that, oh, why am I born in poverty, or why am I born in wealth? Which, by the way, being born in wealth doesn't necessarily mean it's good. You know, I know a lot of people born in wealth who can't get their head together because everything came too easy and they did not grow, they did not learn from it. So is that a thing that everybody is dealt different cards, and that's why a lot of people think life is not fair? Yes, that's how it works. However, we also all have a choice on how we play those cards. And I think that's why people need to find people like you to be able to at least offer some guidance and some direction. So yes, they may be not chosen to do something about their pain, and may be given the opportunity or not having the opportunity to grow out of it or understand it better. But I believe that everybody who's, for example, been chosen to watch this podcast series, this show, Tia Today, they have been chosen. There's billions of people on the planet. Why? And you say, no, it's the algorithm. Yeah, but who determined the algorithm, and why the algorithm you? And even if the algorithm, why were you clicking on your phone at the same time as the algorithm?
Yeah.
So they were chosen to hear this. So if you're chosen to hear this already now, this message, then actually you are destined for greatness. That's how I see it.
Mm.
Like you're supposed to grow out of whatever you're going through right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard this chapter.
Mm. And I think it's also as a deeper part of the way that you think, because somebody could be listening to this and going, I'm destined for greatness. How? Right? Or somebody could be thinking, oh my goodness, like this is the sign that I've been waiting for. And I think that's the big differentiation where, again, what I don't want to do is I don't want to put people in boxes where it's like, oh, I'm awakened and you're not.
Mm.
So I'm better than you. Mm. It's almost like...
What is awakened?
Like, I guess, being more self-aware, more conscious of your decisions, more conscious of your feelings, your emotions, like, you know...
So is that awakening process or is that awakened?
I think it's a continuation because...
Because I mean, I've been on this spiritual awakening journey for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I would say that today... I am different to last year and 100%. different to even 2019 when I went into the Himalayan mountains and did the whole awakening journey. I still think that today I'm still different. And I think sometimes this awakened word gets thrown around and it's like, what does it mean, awakened? Yeah. And then comes with judgments. You're not awakened. Or if you were awakened, you shouldn't think like that. And then it's like...
No, because everyone's different. And you know, I think the main purpose of this kind of content, you know, as like what we're going back to the chosen, like, are you chosen? Are you special? Or, you know, are you different from others? It's more about like the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is in the hope that someone hears it that gets inspired in whatever way.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm.
And how you choose to use this podcast or this conversation and better your life or be informed so that you can move in a better direction in your life, that's the whole goal.
Mm.
But then, yeah, like putting people in boxes of like, you know, or labels.
Yeah.
I don't really.
But that's what I mean. I think that people say this person is awakened or that person is not awakened. And just like what you said, I don't think it's labeled that way because it should be labeled that way.
Yeah.
Because it's a journey. It's a journey of... awakening our consciousness to become more aware.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember these moments as a, and I actually, you know, my cousin actually has been working with me for the last just over 6 months now, and he sent me a message on the way here. He's actually doing my coaching program, right, which is all about healing your inner child, reparenting yourself, growing in confidence, you know, overcoming your fears and, and he sent me a message and he just said, I recently did the mini-me in module 3 and I've got some photos of you I'd love to share, because in that module, in that component of the program, I get my clients to find photos of themselves when they were children, you know? So what I know that we don't have any photos of you, but my story, the pain that I went through was... my own awareness of my physical presence and that I was very skinny and lanky, which was continuously identified by other people because I was bullied or I was called names or I was called skinny or I was told to eat more food because I'm too skinny. So it was like constantly like repeated to me, which over time as I got older, plus the way that I looked, if you look at these photos, like you can just scroll through, like that's Luke, you know, the little boy, the skinny boy. And sure, I'm smiling there, but like I'm looking at these photos and like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, see what I mean? Like, he's just a little boy, you know? But already at this age, like, he's 6 or 7 there, he looks happy, but he knows that he's different. He knows that he's lanky. He's like, you know, he's skinny. So from a very young age, like that's what I was internalizing. And then as I got older, the emotions got stronger, the triggers, the feeling judged, not understanding why am I going red for? Why is my heart beating so fast? Why don't I do anything when someone confronts me or calls me a name or bullies me or, you know? So that's the less or not self-aware version of me. If you want to call it, I mean, awakened was like, yeah, 33 was the age that I started to make changes and started to learn to love myself, which was part of, again, the whole more consciousness, more self-awareness, you know, what's keeping me stuck, becoming conscious of my thoughts, you know? So I think if anything, I think that's the challenge that everyone's going through, is not acknowledging like what's happening in your body, you know, almost just holding it, suppressing it or leaving it, not speaking about it. And then what happens over time?
I think those are the two, yeah, those are the two things that people resort to. And a lot of the time I we're in our classes, we are teaching people what we refer to as witnessing meditation, which is basically just witnessing your emotions or witnessing your feelings or your thoughts, and then acknowledging it, and then deciding what do I do with this, you know, and understanding that I have the choice to shift that thought as well, I think is important. And another thing as well, because we touched on the word depression or suicide today, I think another thing that I would like people to know is that it's okay to not feel okay. Like meaning that if you don't feel okay, be okay. I think a lot of people that they don't, like they feel, oh, there's something wrong with me or my mind or something wrong with my mind, or I've got this blockage or I've got this fear or I've got this thought and it's a problem and things. First of all, don't think it's a problem, because our human mind is a very sophisticated thing that it does tend to gravitate towards negativity or doubts or self-sabotage and these things. And be okay with that you are witnessing your mind thinking that way right now, because the mind, actually it's strange because it will forever think that way. I mean, even from you expressing today, that even coming on after all this and all these podcast shows and all the content you put out and all the millions of people you impact, you still come onto a show with a bit like, oh, what am I going to speak about today? Or what am I going to ask today? Or how am I going to start today? Meaning the mind still plays those tricks. And the same with me. After all these years, still, if I'm in an unfamiliar surrounding with unfamiliar people, I still get that, what if this? What if that? What if this? And I think the message I want people to know is, it's okay to witness your mind speaking all these things. It's okay. It's normal. It's part of the process. Like everybody has it. Now, is it okay to keep it there, or is it okay to just live with that? I don't think it's okay. I think we should learn, how do we do a cognitive reframe? How do we shift that? How do we think the opposite, you know? And I think that's important, because... Or how do we have certain practices even? I mean, you did your practices in Shaolin. I did my practice in Himalayas. But I'm guessing that breath work was a part of a lot of things we learned, you know? And it helps so much. I always say to people, I think breath changes everything, because you can be stressed, you can be angry, you can be nervous, you can be self-sabotaging. But the moment you... If we can make the slowest breath, don't need to overcomplicate breath work. Just literally breathe slow and listen to the sound of the breath as we inhale and exhale. by the end of three breaths, whatever you were feeling before will start subsiding. Mm-hmm. It will just calm down. Mm-hmm. It's like the easiest tool mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. hack that anyone can use, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that is a good starting point.
I guess the question is, where does it come from? As you're speaking, I'm like, there's still, it's a bit of fear, right? If you experience, is it that feeling of insignificance that you struggled with for a long time? Mm. Is it, for me, that little Luke that was scared, that didn't feel confident and didn't feel sure of himself for so, because again, it's a mental construct. I agree.
Mm.
It's in your mind,
but
your mind is your memory.
Mm.
Subconsciously from everything you've lived through and been through. So, you know, it's almost like we've done so much work on reprogramming our mind, on creating a new identity, becoming, you know, not the past, but, you know, our new versions of ourselves. And I agree with you as well. You know, I'm not the same person I was yesterday. I'm constantly evolving. You know, who I was 3 years ago when we spoke is a completely different person.
Yeah, that's true.
But yet when we see each other, we're like, hey, you know, how you doing? But I already know from just being with you now and speaking with you, I can feel the difference in who you are. And I know you can feel this difference in me.
Easily. It's like a complete different show.
So is that, would you agree that that is something somewhat of a fulfilling experience? That you're not staying stagnant. You're not the same emotionally, mentally.
Well, growth is a basic human need, you know? In human need psychology, growth is part of it. So I think it's something that everybody just naturally needs, you know? When we're not growing, my old mentor used to always say, well, if you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, so I think it's important, though, that we learn, that we evolve.
You know? I mean, we're all going to one day pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're not growing, or if we're just living, do we need to grow? Or is it, how do you feel about your life?
No. Human, you see, human needs psychology talks about, we've got the six basic human needs, certainty, variety, significance, love and connection, contribution, growth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's human needs. When we are spiritually evolving, this spiritually evolving, spiritual awakening, all that thing about detachment and letting go, all those lessons in spirituality, ego has, it will govern that human needs.
Mm.
Without human needs, now spiritual is infinite. There is no problem. So spiritually goes to, we don't need to do anything.
Mm.
So I think sometimes it becomes a bit of a confusion for people because they sometimes learn things like detachment, let's say, and spiritual people, they say, I need to detach from everything, detach. And then, but we're in this human body, so we're actually very much attached.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless we are actually talking about samadhi or transcendence, where we are going to leave the body. But if we're just still on this planet as a human being, we are still attached.
Mm.
Like, you can try and detach, but you need food, which you require money. You need clothing, you need house, which require money. So you are very much still attached. Now, when you talk about growth, do we need growth? Spiritually, we don't need anything.
Mm.
It's as is. We are the witnesser, the ultimate. Everything, good, bad, wars breaking out, people dying, people being birthed. Same thing. Everything exists. It happens. Everything is okay.
Mm.
You know? This person's angry at me. That person's upset. Actually, it's not my problem. It's their problem. I'm just watching the movie here. There's no problem. That's why spiritually, the more spiritually we advance, people can call these people, you are cold-hearted, or it looks like you have no feelings. And sometimes people going through a spiritual awakening say, is there something wrong with me? Because I don't feel any emotions anymore. there's nothing wrong. It's a great thing to, it's a great thing to not be affected by emotions.
Mm.
But because you are a human being, it's nice as a human being to still be able to feel the pleasures of this human existence, you know? So in the same way, this whole growth thing, if we talk spiritually, we don't need anything. But our human needs to evolve. It wants to evolve. It wants to do something more to be able to, because once we evolve, we experience something different in this lifetime. And it's nice, like, for example, in this, I mean, I don't really have this huge desire, but just for example's sake, I have never owned a private jet before, but sometimes I'll see someone with a private jet and think, oh, that's nice, you know? I mean, you can just jump on your private jet and go somewhere and it's quite private. And, you know, I'm an introvert, so that's nice, you know? I don't need to be in a plane with loads of people. And so if I evolve, if I grow, let's say financially and become more abundant, or even my mindset, will I be able to experience even bigger exuberance of life in this reality? Is it, yeah, I can. So, and if you can, then why not? Because we're here for a very limited amount of time. You might as well try whatever you want to try, you know? Yeah, because once we leave, you won't be doing these things.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
Yeah, I've been saying that a little bit. You know, don't forget to live while you're alive. You know, and I think obviously, you know, yeah, for some people hearing that you would think about owning a private jet could be so far away from their type of life that it's almost like not even something that anyone could fathom, you know. But it also shows that, you know, everyone's different and everyone has dreams. And I think to the level of confidence and self-worthiness that you have, then there's nothing that's impossible. And I think, you know, for someone to be renting a house and then to buy a house is an achievement.
Yeah.
And for someone, you know, buying a Bugatti is an achievement, or buying a mansion is an achievement, you know, but once upon a time they had nothing. So again, we're going back to the whole concept of growth.
Yeah. I think humans naturally go into this, you know, being a human being, you naturally go into a chasing thing. Like, it's like, oh, there's something better than me. Oh, there's something greater. Oh, there's something.
Yeah. When do you really like, when are you going to be happy? Is it about happiness or is it about achievement? Is it about growth?
I think it's about both. But I think the secret is appreciate everything that you have.
Absolutely.
And continue to work on yourself to become even better. That is my own mantra for myself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
At every stage, no matter what you have, you know, understand that there's people behind you, there's people in front of you. So you got to learn to have that attitude of gratitude. Appreciate everything that you have, whatever it is. I mean, I learned that from my trip in Kenya, you know, because you see, you have nothing. Why are you all smiling so much, you know? And then you start realizing, wait there a second. No, you still have things compared to, you know, you have food today. Some people are not getting food. So that's why your gratitude. So I'm like, wow. And so there's so many levels to this game. And people are forever chasing, thinking that happiness on the other side. And I don't know if you ever watched that TED talk with Sean Aker. He talks about the happiness advantage. And he said, everybody's saying, I'm here, goal is here, happiness is here. He said, what if we could just learn to flip the formula around? And we are here and we can live happiness now. That would give you a happiness advantage because you will feel more positive. And because you feel more positive, you will attract more positivity in your life, you know? And I love that. So,
well, I think I understand the concept, but mentally for people, they want the desired result because they believe that when they get it, they'll be happy.
Go.
But I know it's a mindset just be happy in the moment, be grateful.
Everyone should go to the most biggest poverty place and go there for some time.
Yeah, I know.
It changes you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you will have that thought. But the moment you see other people being so happy and then you live there for some time, it gets you thinking, you know?
Mm.
Like, it completely changed me.
Yeah. the concept or the journey of what you're trying to achieve, it's not about the actual achievement. It's about who you become achieving it, which I think is more important. Because if you don't strive for that greatness, whatever that is, well, then you're going to stay the same. And we go back to growth. Are we here to stay the same or are we here to grow? So
I love what you said there, because it is about the journey of growth rather than what the thing actually
because it
is.
Takes something, man. You want to like impact or achieve that on another level.
That's a Rolex.
Yeah,
it's like that. So everyone wants a Rolex, and then when you get their Rolex, ooh, my first Rolex, very happy.
Mm, mm.
And then after some time, it's just the Rolex you wear every day. And then maybe after some time, you see someone wearing something else and you're like, whoa, that's the dream.
Mm.
And I think, you know, and some people say, oh, that chasing is bad, but I don't see it bad. It's nice to have desire. What's wrong with having desire? Mm. It makes you feel good, great.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be attached to that desire, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and don't think happiness comes from that thing only, you know? And so that's why I think what you're talking about, it is about the journey.
Yeah. I mean, look, everyone is different, but I also want to come from a more of a grounded, gentle, kind at the same time. For me, it's not about, oh, look what I've got, I'm better than you type of place, but it's about just being myself.
Mm.
And what we can't control is other people's opinions, other people's assumptions, other people's judgments. Because naturally, people aren't going to know you, bro. And they'll be like, oh, he thinks he's the shit. Because
I knew it. I said outside, just before we were downstairs, I knew it. I felt it. I'm going to show you that clip later. I was downstairs. I said, today, I'm getting this feeling and this download. I like speaking with Luke because it can go anyway. But I feel that what the people need to hear today, the main message is about authenticity. Mm. I said that downstairs. Mm. And I just didn't say anything about it. And this last moment, you said about being yourself. Mm. I share something with you. Last 2 years ago, I started opening up a whole new audience because I started to learn Chinese. And I started to
congratulations.
I started to open up a Chinese audience, mm-hmm, and I built it up to hundreds of thousands of people now.
That's awesome.
And I was surprised at myself for doing it, but it was amazing. And then last year, something happened. I these things, it's not something that makes you sound cool, but again, I like speaking to you because even you bring your vulnerability out in the dispense to make other people powerful. And I think that's a very powerful thing that you have, a gift that you have, because you speak the truth. You know, whatever it is, it's not right or wrong. It's just the truth. And same thing with me with this particular incident, because last year, the Taiwanese media, I got caught up in something. And then because my name suddenly blew up, then somebody got a hold of it and then said, this spiritual teacher has stole someone else's wife. And so basically, boom, it went all over media, all mainstream media, TV media, magazine, everywhere. Then imagine now, the moment I spent 2 years building up this thing and learning Chinese, and suddenly, boom, I'm like, oh shit, my whole reputation is ruined. I said that line twice. The first time I said it, I thought, my reputation, my whole identity, my whole branding is ruined. And then the second time I said it, I said, wait, I no longer have reputation. I no longer have identity. I'm not that confined person I needed to show for the public anymore. I sat with that for a few days. Wait, they're all shouting at me saying I'm not spiritual anymore. They're all shouting at me saying I'm not who I said I was. They're all shouting at me saying this person's not serious and this person's a joke. And I'm like, and then I was thinking, am I not serious? Actually, you're right. I'm not serious. I've never been a serious person. Like, I don't like being serious. I like joking. I like messing around. I've always liked talking nonsense. Like I do with my friends, you know, I sit there talking a load of nonsense. So you're right. And then you're not spiritual. You also do this and do that. You're right. I do loads of different things. I'm into cars. I like cars. I've got all the sports cars and everything. And then it's like, I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I was like, and then I said to Pin, who sat there now, who's in charge of my Chinese social media, I said, pick up the camera. She said, okay. I said, I'm going to put my watches back on. And I put my AP on. I put my Patek Philippe on. I said, I'm going to wear two watches like Kevin O'Leary in his shows. I'm going to wear it now because you know, I haven't told this story ever in public. Actually, this is the first time I've told it. But I did not embark on speaker journey to talk about law of attraction or spirituality. Mm. I started speaking about business because I've been in business since the age of 19. Absolutely. That was my first message. Mm-hmm. The algorithm had it where my first video when I talked about law of attraction went viral. After that, you know how the algorithm works. You suddenly get segmented into one category and then suddenly you have to talk about it every single day. Mm-hmm. So suddenly I became the biggest law of attraction channel on YouTube. And then I remember every time let's say for example, I'm wearing my watch and I'm just saying, okay, you can attract, look at his whatever, showing off his watch and then whatever, he's not spiritual. Mm. And then every time I'm like driving my car and I leave a thing, yeah, Lamborghini, look at this person, so attached to the human, whatever, and trying to teach spirituality. Oh. So then all my content, well, okay, I'm not allowed to do that. As a spiritual person, I'm not allowed to do that. Oh, okay. So I sit at home every day, namaste, everyone. Today, we will teach you three ways to do this. And they loved it. They accepted it. They accepted that identity. And then after it'll be off, guys, you know, then I'll come into me. And then last year when this thing happened, I said, it's gone. So I said to her, film me now. She said, what are you going to do? I said, just film. Guys, the thing I hate most about this AP is when I wear my Patek Philippe at the same time on the other thing and my Lamborghini and my phone drops in the gap and I start talking about this stuff. And I was basically joking. I was messing. I was basically taking what the media said and I blew it completely out of proportion. And that was my first Chinese video that hit 4 million views. It hit it literally within the week. Mm. And then I said, this is crazy. I said, Pin, film me again. I said, I'm going to get in my McLaren, put the wings up, and I'm going to... And I made the second video, another million views. I said, oh my God, what's going on? I said, okay, I'm going to wear even the shoes I don't even like wearing. I'm going to wear my Balenciagas. That's the limited edition. I said, I'm going to wear them. Boom. I said, whoa. I said, this is crazy. I tell you, within, I think, 3-4 months, we built the Chinese channel, Chinese Instagram. We were not present at all. We had like 2,000 following. We went from 2,000 following to 100 plus thousand within, I think, about 4 or 5 months. Mm. But it's not about the content. For me personally, it's not about the content. It's not about the views. It's not about any of those things because, I mean, I have millions of following other places. I don't need that. But for me, this year, why I said this year has been a very big personal breakthrough for me. I'm relaxed. I just ran a 5-day event. Mm-hmm. I was laughing all the way through the event. I was telling jokes all the way through the event. I was basically just taking the piss out of things that I usually do with my dearest sister where we're just messing around. And I talk that way. I got tired at the end and I sat like this and I continued to speak about it because I was just tired. It was many hours. And the amount of love and the reception that we received from the audience, I never seen before. So while I get the opportunity on this podcast show, I'd like to thank the Taiwanese media for trying to destroy my uh, for actually successfully destroying my reputation and giving me the opportunity or breakthrough to actually finally be myself. And I think this is the biggest difference. Like today I contemplated, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to talk about authenticity, I'm coming in with my limited edition Balenciaga sunglasses today. And I'm going to do the podcast like this. And I'm going to wear this hoodie. Master Sri Akashana. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I did the Himalayan mountains and I did the whole thing. Yeah, and I'm at peace every day and I meditate and I do my yoga. But guess what? I do everything else too. And guess what? It's okay because today I'm living myself. And if I feel so much liberation today, and I feel like it took me 40 years to finally break free and just be myself and not care about just even what you talk about, the shaming of your image or this or that, or and just not care and just, you know, I want to say whatever I want to say. I want to sit whatever, however I want to sit. I want to dress however I want to dress and just say whatever. If I can, the best way for me to teach that is to be the true representation of that. And yeah.
Master Sri, welcome home.
Thank you.
Guys, we're going to wrap it up because that was everything, you know. If you're listening right now, this podcast, even for me, while we're just listening to Master Sri talk, towards the end there about being yourself, I mean, I was just sitting here smiling the whole time because for me, it's an honor to like listen to your story, your testimony, and to have spoken with you, done a podcast if you guys go and listen to the podcast 3 years ago, we did, and to have gone through such a breakthrough and this is where freedom is, you know, in being yourself. And it's absolutely an inspiration, man. So thank you so much for jumping on and joining us today. And I know that you're a busy person, but I look forward to many more opportunities. And I'm very grateful, man. So thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next episode. Standing here, yeah, I found my light. Turn my pain into purpose. I shine so bright. All the scars that I carry made me who I am. Now